This morning, Numbers chapter 10, as we dig in on the travels that are going to go through, and we really see the first time they're going to get up and move somewhere, it's going to be over a year that they've been in the one place, and they're going to get ready to move on. But they before they move, the Lord gives more instructions and just gives all that they need to go. It's interesting that just the same with you and I in our lives, that when things change, when things are about to go, the Lord gives different instructions for different times. We don't have to worry and get all set up and know what's going to happen ahead of time. When it's time, He'll tell us. And so we just listen to Him and we look to Him for it. It says in verse 1 of chapter 10, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, Make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie in the east part shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets. They shall be to you an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness and your solemn days and in the beginnings of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God." So the Lord comes, He ministers to Moses, He speaks to him, He gives them this instruction before they start moving out and start going. Remember, they're in the shape of a cross, the east, the south, the north, the west. They're in those places. They've got designated places to go, and they're in those places. And now He gives instructions for them as to what's going to happen. But as you look at it, you see that there's these trumpets, and it says in verse 2 that they're silver trumpets. And you really need to keep in mind that that just isn't there for you just to read and just to say, "Oh, great, silver trumpets. They can see them. That's wonderful." But silver in Scripture speaks of redemption. And so He's picturing here a call for redemption to happen. They're being redeemed from themselves. They're being redeemed from the lands that they're in. And there's going to be a New Testament application to this, and we're going to take a look at it in a little bit. But you really need to realize that this just isn't for this part of Numbers. It's for all of Scripture. And you look through it and you just tie all these things together and you just realize God has a great plan. And He's putting it into practice. He's speaking to them in the Old Testament here and ministering to them and just giving them a picture of what's to come. "So make thee two trumpets of silver of the whole piece and use them for the calling of the assembly." And in these first 10 verses, we see four different types of calls that the trumpets were going to be used for. The first, of course, in verses 2 to 4, was for the gathering. When the trumpet would blow, the people would be gathered. And it's important to have that, to remember that that's the reason behind it. And that's going to be very important, especially as we go on here. So hold that one in the back of your mind, and we'll go on to the others and then get to it. The second calling then in verses 5 to 8, when you blow an alarm, then the people are going to be gathered and they're going to start moving. So the second call of these trumpets is to mobilize the people, is to get the people moving. And there's a call for it. There's a time for it. There's a call for it. And it's the same with you and I. The Lord calls us, He ministers to us, and then He tells us to get going. And so we see this progression that's going on here, but it's a progression not only of the people of Israel, but for our faith too. Because when God calls us, he calls us by name. And as we accept that call, then he mobilizes us and moves us to where he wants us to be in those times and those places that he has for us. And then the third trumpet that we're going to see, and it applies to us here too, is in verse 9. It says that if you go to war in your land against the enemy, and for us, we see it as the grace of God, because he doesn't call us to war before he saves us. He calls us to war after he saved us and after he's mobilized us and we're ready and prepared for those things that are going to come. And there's a battle that's in the world, and it's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. That's the obvious battle. And we see that battle that's going on. And we see the things that are going on in Israel. We see the anger and hatred of Christianity in Nigeria right now, in Sudan. That's so awful that they're just killing hundreds at a time. But we realize it isn't just a war. It's a spiritual battle. This is all spiritual that's going on. People don't hate Israel just to hate Israel. They hate Israel because Satan hates Israel. And the prince of the power of the air is just spreading that hatred throughout the world so that they hate Israel. And as the Islamic countries call Israel the little Satan, they call America the great Satan. It's a spiritual battle that's going on. They don't hate us just because they have reason to. They hate us for no reason at all. Just because we have a Lord who's alive, who's living, and they're angry with him because Satan is angry with him. They're just following their father, the enemy. They're following their father, Satan. And what a crazy thing to have happen. And they can't handle it. And they don't even know why. They just do it. That's how they've been brought up. That's how they've been taught. That's what they learn. That's what they see. And they believe it. Folks, we've learned over the years, I think, that we don't trust our newspapers, that we don't trust all of those things that are written in papers. They aren't just there because they're truth. Sometimes they're not truth. Everything you read on Facebook, you do not have to believe it. It doesn't, just because it's there doesn't mean it's true. It's just there. You have to check things out. You check everything out by the Word of God. You don't check things out just because you want to. You check them out because you want to be a Berean that checks things out in the Word, by the Word, for the Word. And that's what we want to do. That's what we need to have. You don't believe me just because I'm up here and you think I'm some supernatural, godly person. I'm just a man who's just here, and sometimes I blow it. Check things out according to the Word and make sure that those are the things that are right and real and true. So we've got this gathering. We've got this mobilization. We've got this war going on. And then the last thing that we're going to see with the trumpets here before we move on, is that there's a celebration. In verse 10, in the day of your gladness, in your solemn days, those feast days that they would have, that they would blow the trumpets over those things. So that it's a time of gladness. It's a time of celebration. It's a time of things that are going on. But notice the order. First, the call of God, and then the mobilization of God, the moving of the heart, and then the battle that goes on, and then the celebration because of what he's done. And we're going to take a look at these a little bit as we go through. It tells us this in Exodus 19, if you remember, as we've gone through Exodus, that chapter 19, of course, is just before chapter 20. Pretty good, huh? It took me a whole week to figure that one out. But here we are in this place just before chapter 20, when the giving out of the law is that the Lord calls the people to come to him. And down in verse 13 of chapter 19, it says, there shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. When the trumpet sounds, they're going to come to the mount. They're going to come to the place where God is, be ministered to by the Lord, be ministered to for what the Lord says to them. But he says, don't get too near. And that's always the case of the law, because the law can only bring you so far. The law can show you that you need a Savior, but it can't save you. It takes the motivation of the heart. It takes a difference in the heart for you to get to that place. And that's why Moses couldn't bring the people into the land, because he was a man from the law. He gave the law, and so he couldn't bring them in. Joshua, which is where Jesus comes through, is that picture of coming into the promised land. Joshua had to do it. Moses couldn't. The law can't bring you into the promised land. Grace and mercy and peace bring you into the promised land. You know you need a savior from the law, but grace and peace bring you in. And that's what we need to know, that we need to know God's grace in the midst of it. It was his grace to even let them come to the mountain. But he says, don't touch it, because you're going to be under the law. And I'm going to show you that the law is there. It's good for you, but it can't do the work that you need it to do. You need to know my grace. You need to know my love. That's what's going to bring you in. But we see this call. He says, when the trumpet sounds long, the people need to come. They need to hear. They need to pay attention to the trumpet that's blowing. And folks, we need to be people who are paying attention to the trumpet, because it tells us in the New Testament that there's going to be a trumpet that's going to sound. But it's not for us to go to the mountain. It's for us to get raptured. It's for us to get out of here. And I know you're looking forward to it. And the older you get and the more diseases that they come up with for you, the more you want to get out of here. And the more surgeries you have, the more you realize, I don't want this body anymore. I want something brand new that's not going to fall apart anymore. And that's what we're promised in the New Testament. But we go through this gathering, we go through getting mobilized, we go through this spiritual warfare, we go through a celebration. But the first trumpet that we hear is in chapter 19 of Exodus. But then there's a last trumpet that we're going to hear. So hold your places here in Numbers, and if you would, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because we're going to take a peek at this, of what's going on here. These two trumpets of silver, while you're going, I'll just get you up to speed a little bit. These first two trumpets, they speak of redemption. They speak of the gathering that's there. But when the second one is going to be called, we're going to be mobilized to pack up and go and get out of here, aren't we? He's calling the people to go. He talked about it the first time the trumpet sounds. They blow the alarm that the people, Judah and those on the east, are going to go, then the south and the west and the north, and they're all going to come, and they're going to come after. But there's that calling that's going to come, and that's the first trumpet that was called. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you look down towards the end of the chapter there in verse 51, it says this: behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. There's the last trump. The last trumpet that's going to sound is that call for the church to mobilize. The New Testament believers are going to get raptured out of this world. Oh, thank you, Lord. In the twinkling of an eye. I don't know about you. I can't measure the twinkling of an eye. It's a little quick. You see that twinkle and we're gone. You don't have time to make a choice then. It's either you're saved or you're not saved. It's either you're gone or you're still here. If you're not saved, you're not going. And it's not salvation that you think of. It's salvation that God has proclaimed. It's salvation that God has given to us through Jesus Christ. There's one way, one hope, one calling, and that calling is from God. It's not what we make it to be. It's what he says. That's why you need to be in the Word. There are not many roads that lead to heaven. There's one road. It's a straight way. It's a narrow way, and few there be that find it. Aren't you glad you're one of the few? You know, we think of the Marines, the few, the chosen ones, you know. But we're kind of the Marines of God. We're on the forefront. We're at the very front of the battles. We're in the midst of the battles. We're going through all these things. But God is our general. God is the one who's delivering us. God is the one who's leading us. He's the captain of the host. And aren't you glad you're in his company? In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. These bodies will no longer see corruption. They'll no longer fall apart. They'll no longer get hurt. They'll no longer have all those issues that we go on here in this world, because we're going to be out of this world. We're going to be incorruptible. No more corruption in your mind, in your heart, in your body, in anything that you are. Because he's made you what? A new creature, a new creation in Christ. And as you look at it, you realize it says in Christ. You have to be in Christ to be able to come to this place. If you're not in Christ, it's not going to happen. And it's so important for you to know Jesus and to stand on the truth of that. Because one day, this is what we're going to see. And his word is truth. And if he says this is the way it is, then folks, this is the way it is. You can't change it and make it into something you want it to be. Well, everybody's going to go to heaven because God is a God of love. And that's partially true. But isn't that just a lie of the enemy? He gives out things that are partially true and then gives out something false. God does love everybody, but only those that respond to the call are going to go. And there's going to be so many that shake their fist at God and say, "But God, I thought you loved me." He does. But he loves you enough not to force you to come to heaven with him if you don't want to. Oh, and we want to go. We want to be with him. Those that love Jesus want to be with Jesus. Those that want to be in heaven are going to be in heaven because of the love that they have for him, because of the love that he's given us. In the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet is going to sound, the trumpets, that silver trumpet, that trumpet of redemption, we're going to hear it. For the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Notice it doesn't say we might be changed. We shall. You're going to be changed. Ugh. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass that is the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It all comes through him, it comes by him, and it comes because of him. And we see this rapture, we see this event that's going to take place, and it could take place any time. There is nothing in prophecy that has to be fulfilled before Jesus comes back. There can be things that are fulfilled, but there's really nothing that has to be fulfilled before he can come back. Israel's back in the land since 1948. Jesus can come at any time. That was the fulfillment that needed to happen on this earth before the church was going to be raptured. That's taken place. Oh, and we look at the events of things that are going to come to pass. We see the things in Psalm 83. We see the things in Revelation, and we see all of that that's going on. And we realize that things can take place, but the church doesn't have to be here for those things. Oh. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul says this to the church at Thessalonica, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep or that have died, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," that's believers in who Jesus is, "even so them also will sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them or go before them which are asleep, which have died already. They're going to be raised, and then we're going with them." But it's all done in the twinkling of an eye. It's just that they got the twinkle before we got the twinkle. But they're gone. They're moving. They're on the move. And the Lord showed that, because when he died, what happened? The graves were opened up, and the people came out of the graves, and people saw the relatives that had died. That could freak you out a little bit. Yeah. "Aunt Harriet, what are you doing here?" I don't know. I just came out of my grave. I'm here. That was just a picture of the resurrection that was going to take place, that those that were asleep were going to come out. And isn't it sweet that the Lord would tell us that we as Christians are not going to die. We're going to go to sleep. Because our last breath here is our first breath in heaven. these bodies are going to fall apart and die, and the worms are going to eat. Job talks about it and go through that thing, but our spirits are going to be with the Lord. And then he's going to give us those new bodies. Oh, can't wait. We'll still know each other. We'll still know who each other is, but there won't be the relationships that are like those here on this earth. They're going to be different in heaven. There's going to be no marriage in heaven. The Lord talked about that, but we're still going to know each other. How am I going to recognize you people? Because the Lord's going to put that remembrance there for you, but not to remember the things that are here on this earth, because he's going to wipe away every tear. And it's going to be that sweet time with the Lord forevermore. It says the Lord's going to descend. The Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. And notice, with the trump of God. The trumpet of God is going to sound. Ooh. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. That word caught up is the word harpazo, which we get the word rapturo from, which is, just speaks of the rapture of the church. Because people say there's no mention of rapture in the church. Yes, there is. It's that word caught up. We're going to be snatched up, almost a violent snatching up off the earth. We're going to be gone that quickly. And folks, there's no time. Because people say, well, I'll wait till the last second. When I hear the trumpet, then I'll know. It's too late. By the time you hear it, we're gone. Don't wait. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you need to know him. And folks, for us, as we trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, hold on to the hope that we have. Hold on. Jesus is coming. Things may be awful in your life. Things may be hard. Things may be dangerous. But the Lord still loves you, and he's taken care of you, and he knows your name. He hasn't forgotten who you are. He knows that you've accepted him as Lord and Savior, and you're among the counted, the chosen that are going to be taken up off this earth. Be encouraged this morning. Don't be discouraged because things are hard. Be encouraged that he even loves us, that he's coming to get us. And he says this at the end of that chapter in 1 Thessalonians, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Comfort each other that there's a hope that lies beyond this world. And it's interesting as we go through it that the Lord just continues all the way through Scripture to talk about these things. In the book of Revelation, he comes in John, of course, writing the book of Revelation, sees these things and hears these things. But it's interesting as you tie all these together, how it goes all the way from early parts of Scripture all the way to the end. John says in chapter 4 of Revelation, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was it as it were of a sound of a trumpet. The voice that he heard, and who was talking to John, it was Jesus. But his voice was like the sound of a trumpet, it says. I find that very interesting. And listen to what the Lord says to John as he speaks to him. And he says, come up hither. Come up from where you are and come up to where I am. The door in heaven was opened. And now access has been made, and Jesus says, come up. Arise up out of the place that you are and come up to me. And John says, or Jesus continues to say, and I'll show you things which must be hereafter. These are the things that are going to happen hereafter, John. And he shows him this whole picture, and it's just amazing. And folks, there are people who believe that are Christians. I believe they're Christians. They know Jesus is Lord and Savior, but they think that we're going to go through part of the tribulation. They think that we're going to go through all of the tribulation. There are those that are pre-trib people that say we aren't going through anything. I'm one of them. If you don't believe it, we'll talk to you on the way up, because it's real. Because after chapter 4 comes the other chapters, right? But from chapter 6 on through chapter 19, the church is not mentioned once. It talks about what's going on in heavenly places, and it talks about the martyrs that are there and all of that, but the church as a unit is not mentioned after he says, come up. Interesting. The voice of a trumpet, the sound of a trumpet, and that trumpet call. The first trump, the last trump. God has a beautiful picture all the way through Scripture of what's going to happen, of the things that are going to come. And it's just amazing to me that people don't want to believe what God has for them. We need to believe what God says is truth, not because it feels good, but because it's truth. You believe what is in the Word. You don't believe what you see anywhere else. You check it out with the Word of God and trust that. So back in Numbers here, we get a picture of the rapture. Now we got to come back to Earth. Sorry about that. But just wanted to clear those things up and get them in focus for you, because these are the events that are going to go on. This is the picture. Remember, all these things that are going on here are a pattern of things to come. And so we get this picture. We have the trumpets, and it says, make those trumpets of silver of redemption. And isn't that what he came for, was to redeem fallen man? He came to redeem you and I from our sin and from these sinful places and to take us home to heaven. But it says in verse 11 here back in Numbers that it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month. And remember what we saw last week. We saw the Passover being celebrated, but there was some who had touched dead bodies, and the Lord said, well, have them do it the second month. And so we see here the picture, the 20th day of the second month. What happened? The people that had touched the dead bodies got to celebrate Passover, and then the Lord says, okay, time to move. He gave them time to celebrate the Passover the second month, not the first month when Passover was, because they had touched something unclean, and as they were redeemed from it, as they were cleansed from it, then the people got to start. The Lord finishing up every... God is a God of order. He's got everything in perfect plan, in a perfect way. And these things are written here for our instruction. But he says, on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle of the testimony, the Lord's presence had been upon the tabernacle. The cloud was there. Remember, he said, when the cloud moves, you move. If the cloud doesn't move, you stay. All of a sudden, the cloud moves. It's been over a year, and the cloud hasn't moved. Can you imagine the people getting up every morning? How often would you look? The first day you'd look, right? The second day you'd look. How about the 33rd day? How about the 50th day? The 300th day? Would you look as hard on the 300th day as you did the first day? Probably not. We grow accustomed to God's presence just staying there. Well, this is probably how it's going to be forever. As we get to be grumpy old people, we sit there and say, this is the best it's ever going to get. I'm not even going to bother looking anymore. Folks, don't get grumpy. Don't let the things of the Lord get old. Keep them fresh in your heart and your mind, because he wants that freshness in your spirit so that you can be a witness in this world that Jesus could come at any time. The world needs to know it. The world needs to see it. It grew old even for the people in the church in the world, because Paul talks about it. Where's the promise of his coming? As they would come to him and say, hey, what happened to the rapture? Where's the promise of his coming? We don't see it happening. What were they doing? They were into the long term, and they were getting upset because God hadn't come. You said Jesus was coming, but boy, it's been a long time, and I'm growing weary. I want Jesus to come now. Folks, we all want Jesus to come now. But if he doesn't come, does that mean you're going to give up on your faith and your trust in who he is? Or are you going to keep plowing? Don't give up. Don't surrender to the work of the enemy and making the good things of God just old, stale stuff. His things don't grow stale. They're fresh. They're new every day. God speaks to you every day. We just don't always know it. He shows you things every day. We just don't always see it. Here we are up in Brighton, and I look outside, as I went outside to get in the car, I look outside, and Kath saw it first. We were driving our granddaughter to school, and behind the fence in my neighbor's yard, there's this buck, and he's got some points. And he's just sitting there. We're in Brighton. What are you doing here? You're supposed to be in Marion or something, you know, where there's trees and there's woods and there's fields, you know. You're not in Brighton where there's 4 square inches per house. Come on. And he's just standing there. And I walk over to the fence, and he doesn't move. So I took a picture. and sent it to all the guys that are sitting in their tree stands freezing and sitting there with warmers in their gloves. And I go, I got one here. You could come and shoot it. Amazing what God can show us if we're looking. And he keeps things fresh and new. Who made that deer? God. Who put him there? God. Why? I don't have a clue, but God knows. But you know what? He shows us things every day. Are you looking? Or are you just so stale and grumpy that you don't want to see anything that God does anymore? Folks, you're not too old to see what God wants to show you. He answers prayers. He's continuing to answer prayers. You guys are still alive. You're still here. That's an answer to prayer because people are praying for you. Oh, be thankful and just rejoice in what he's doing. So the cloud is taken up from off the Ark of the Testimony. And the children of Israel took their journey out of the wilderness of Sinai. Can you imagine the first time they've heard these trumpets? And the trumpets are blowing, and Judah and the company that's with him are moving, and they're packing up their tents, and the people are going, Yahoo, we're going to the promised land. Folks, it took them 40 years to get there. You think you'd get grumpy and stale after 40 years of waiting? Don't let the grumpiness take over. That's just a work of the enemy. That's from the pit of hell. Stay fresh in your relationship with Jesus and keep it fresh. Make it new every day. They took their journeys and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. Look at who they're following. Are they following the plan that they think they have? No. They're following the cloud. They're following the Lord. The Lord is in the cloud. And he's protecting them. He's leading them. Is the Lord leading you, or are you leading the Lord? You know, in Scripture, as you look at it, especially in the New Testament, as you look at the life of Jesus, we see how Jesus led the people and led the disciples. But then he gets captured by the band from Pilate's temple, right? From Pilate's place. The soldiers come. They take him. What does it say? They led Jesus. Folks, you don't want to lead Jesus. You want Jesus to lead you. If you're leading Jesus, he's in a place of captivity, and it's not a good place. It's not going to end well. But when Jesus leads you, it always ends well. That's why we trust him. That's why the people of Israel started out trusting the Lord. But they soon let the time get a hold of them. It wasn't instant like you and I think things should be instant. I mean, when you get in your car, you want it to start. You don't want it to start 2 days later. You want it to start when you get in the car. And if it doesn't, what do? You get mad. The car's not starting. I can't go where I want to go. I can't do what I want to do. Whoa. Things get old and stale quick, don't they? We want things instant. You pull into Burger King, you want your hamburger in 4 minutes or less or else. And if it isn't there, you drive away and you're steaming. And you call up Burger King management and say, my burger wasn't ready in 4 minutes. What's the matter with you people? Folks, our salvation takes a while, doesn't it? Our redemption takes a while. Are you willing to wait and to just sit before him and let him do that work that he wants to do in you? They took the first journey, it says, according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And in the first place went the standard of the camp of the children of Judah according to their armies. And over his host was Nashon, the son of Aminadab. And you go through all these folks and all the tribes and all those things. And it's wonderful to see those things because you remember some of the names. But for time's sake, because I've already gone further than I should have, he talks to his father-in-law, wants him to stay. The son of his father-in-law wants him to stay, and that doesn't happen. But go down to the end of the chapter. Well, I can't go that far. Go down to verse 33. It says, and they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey. And three in Scripture is very important. The number three is very important for you. 3 days, it says. 3 days is important. Why is it important? How long was Jesus in the tomb? 3 days, three nights. How long was Jonah in the belly of the whale? 3 days, three nights. You think there's a pattern? Three is very important. Mark it, do something with it, acknowledge it. We don't know all the details around it, but we know it's important. He went 3 days just to show them the pattern of things that were to come. They departed from the Mount of the Lord, 3 days' journey, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. Why did the Lord go before them? To search out a resting place. Why has Jesus gone before us to heaven? To search out a resting place for us and to build that place, a place of many mansions, it says, in heaven, from John chapter 14. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass as the ark set forward that Moses said, and this is what Moses did every time when they set out and when they stopped. And listen to these things. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And we'll finish up here. But it says, and it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses says, rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. Notice he doesn't say, rise up, Lord, and smite those people that hate us. He doesn't say that hate us. He says that hate you, Lord. We see the same thing in the world today, don't they? They don't hate us. They hate the Lord. It's just that we're representatives of who he is. And so the hatred just comes towards us. The anger that you're so self-righteous, you're so holy, you're just one of them born-agains that's just sitting here and we hate you because why do you hate us? I have no idea. Yes, you do. It's because you hate the Lord and he hates the Lord in you. Jesus said to his disciples, if they've hated me, guess what? They're going to hate you. Don't think you're going to get away from it. Don't think you're going to get out of it. The world is going to hate you. And the world does. Isn't that sad? Do they have any reason to? We're supposed to be the nicest people in the world. We're supposed to give out grace and peace and love and all of that. And why would you hate somebody that's trying to give you grace and peace? Because they hate the Lord that's in you. They don't hate you. Just like Moses said, they're not hating us. They're hating you, Lord. They're the enemies of Moses and the people of Israel, not because of who they are, but because of who God is. And it's the same now for you and I. The anger that comes at you, the anger that comes towards you is not because it's you, it's because of the Lord in you. Get excited about it. I mean, it's hard to get excited about somebody being mad at you, but get excited about it that they recognize that Jesus is in you. It's wonderful. But don't get to a place where you think, poor me, it's so sad, everybody hates me. The Eeyore complex is great in the Church of God. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat some worms. Get excited because God loves you and he's going to take care of you. This is what he says, rise up, Lord, let your enemies be scattered and let them that hate thee flee before thee. Push them aside, Lord. And when he rested, he said, return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. There's many that are here, Lord, that love you. Return, Lord. Don't keep going before us, but stay with us, is really what he's asking, isn't it? Lord, go before us and prepare the way. And Lord, return and refresh us while we stop. That is beautiful. We sing the benediction every Sunday, and that's a wonderful thing. This is almost like another benediction, but it's more about the Lord. It's more in that place of just minister to us, Lord. Where was Moses' focus? It wasn't in how good the camp looked as they moved. Oh, you guys are right in step. This is wonderful. Everybody's doing the right foot, left foot thing. It's really good. They're all doing it at the same time. It sounds wonderful. They're all looking sideways at the generals and doing all of those things and everything is perfect. He says, Lord, it's all about you. Moses wasn't looking at the people and looking back and saying, these 2 million people are mine. I own them. I brought them out of Egypt. He says, Lord, you're the one that's still leading. I'm looking to you. I'm not looking at the numbers behind me. I'm looking at who you are. Moses had one focus and one picture in his mind, and it wasn't of the people. It was of his God. We don't go because others are going. We look because God is going. We're looking to him. Somebody else is not going to get you to heaven. It's your relationship with him that's going to get you to heaven. Your kids aren't going to go because you're going. Your kids are going to go because they love Jesus and have that commitment to him. But your focus is on one. There was a song, I forget who did it, Audio Adrenaline maybe, one about one, the audience of one. But it's just all about Jesus. Our focus is on him and who he is. Do you know if he's moving off the mountain and he wants you to follow? Do you know where he's taking you? He's leading. And if he's leading, he's going to take you somewhere because he's searching out a place of rest for you. Notice he didn't say, I'm searching out a place where you can have a great battle. He says, I'm looking for a place for you to rest. Are you heavy burdened today? He said, let me take it and I'll give you rest. What is Jesus doing? The same thing that God the Father was doing, looking for you to bring you to a place of rest and trust and protection and safety. Oh, so thankful for all that the Lord does, and we don't even know the half of it. A lot of you came in today, you probably didn't even notice that the Lord kept you from having an accident. He kept you from having somebody hit you. Did you ever get there to a place and just driving and you know you should have hit the car in front of you? And you're just there, and all of a sudden you just, I don't know how I didn't hit that car. I did that once in the winter, just driving through, and I hit some ice, and I should have clobbered a couple of cars, and there was nothing there. Lord, how'd you do that? Can you send me the program so I can put it in my car so it's okay? He says, it's just my protection. I just want you to know I'm with you. I just want you to know that I'm there. He loves you. So, Father, as we prepare our hearts to take communion, to remember all that you've done, and Lord, as we look this morning of all that you're going to do, because that trump is going to sound, and Father, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we who are alive are going to be caught up together with them in the air. We're going to be raptured. Father, just thank you so much for the nearness of your redemption, that it's drawing near, that those trumpets were silver, speaking of redemption. You called them to come, and then you're going to call them to come home. And Father, we're so thankful for all the pictures that we see here, all the things that are there, all the types. But Lord, help us to know the truth of it. Help us to know the God behind it. We're not just looking to get raptured out of here because we hate this world. We're looking to get to go from here to see you face to face. We're coming to our God. And Father, we want to know you well as we come. So help us, Lord, to be reminded of all these things. And Father, if there's been something in our lives and our hearts today that you just touched and showed us and instructed us and maybe even chastised us and admonished us in it, Lord, help us to bring those things before you and just to speak to you about those things, Lord. You're an individual God who loves individuals, and you don't work the same way in every person's heart. But, Father, we know that you want to speak. So speak, Lord, because your children want to hear. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, for the promise and the hope that we have as Christians, as believers in you, Jesus. You've given us so much and even assured us of those things that as we see your promises come to pass, we realize that the promises of the future are just as sure as the ones that have already passed. Because you can't lie, you're not going to lie, and you're always going to give us the truth, Lord. So thank you for that, and thank you that we have this hope, this surety of this hope that we can have and trust in it, Lord, because we trust you, not because we go to church, not because we pray, but because of who you are and what you've done and what you've said, Lord. We're thankful that our hope lies in that, Lord. Just as Israel relied on the cloud moving, we rely on you, on the cloud, and the words that you say. And so we trust you, Lord. We give you thanks. We praise you. We ask that you just minister to our hearts now as we remember all that you've done, Lord. We hold in our hands these elements, the bread with the piercings, and just speaking of the piercings that you took on the cross for us, the picture of your redemption that was coming to pass on that cross, and the curse that was upon you because of our sin that you took upon yourself. Our judgment has already taken place. It was put on you, on your shoulders, on who you are, on the cross, Lord. Never to be reminded of it again, but to know the redemption that we have because of what you've done. We hold in our hands these cups, speaking of your blood that was poured out, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There's no taking away of sin, but you took it for us, Lord. And we give you thanks for it. And we hold these elements now, remembering what you've done and giving thanks to you because you did it, Lord. So we take these with thanksgiving. We take these now with hearts of gratitude for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. Our redemption is coming, and we're thankful for it, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake.